So this is Christy Hudson, and she is going to be speaking on Romans 12. And this is her first time speaking, right? So let's pray.
Oh, can you just, we also are having prayer for Sarah
Okay.
afterwards.
All right. So at 11:15, that's going to be prayer here in this room for Sarah Gamage, if anybody wants to join for that. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning, and we know as we look to you that we need you. We need you to help us focus. We need you to help us learn. We need you to teach us about these things. And we thank you so much for the ways that you have helped Christy through these past weeks and preparing. We thank you so much for the time that she has put into it and the ways that you have taught her. We pray that you would use this talk to teach us, to help us to see our sin, to help us to see our need for you, and just to grow in our faith, to grow closer to being more like you. And Lord, we thank you for this time, and we can look at your word. We pray for our small groups and our discussion times together. Pray that you would bless them. We pray for the kids downstairs to do well and to learn and grow as well. And we just lift all these things up to you and thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, can everyone hear me okay? Is this all right? Little louder. Is that good?
Do you want me to put it up a little? Can you just try it over here? Put the volume up a little.
Oh, sure.
Is that helpful?
Okay, how's that? Is that good? Everyone hear me? Does that work? Okay, yeah, that sounds better. Okay. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Christy Hudson, and I have been attending New Life for about 9 years now with my husband, and we have two little girls and another little girl on the way. I am also a nurse at Abington Hospital, and one of the first things that really stood out to me during my nursing school time was the complexity of the human body. God didn't just throw us together in haste. He intricately wove us together, creating a mesh of systems that intertwine and yet remain distinct enough to study separately. One of the many systems that comes to mind is the circulatory system, part of which are the blood cells. Microscopic, yet essential for our bodies to function properly. There are three basic groups: the red blood cells that carry oxygen all over the body, are white blood cells, whose job it is to attack and kill invaders throughout the body. And there are platelets that have the role of clotting whenever there is a breakdown or split in the body. The crazy thing is, if just one of these tiny cells, one group of these cells, aren't working properly, your body cannot function. Their jobs are very different, but needed for the body as a whole to survive. So this is one of many examples the human body can provide to get one of Paul's main points across in this passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Throughout the book of Romans, Paul has been diving deep into the mercy and grace of God. No one is righteous, and by the old law, we would be condemned. But through the death of Christ, we are reborn and given eternal hope. We no longer die in the law, but we die and rise with Christ through free grace. Paul also explains in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 11, that whoever believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confesses that Jesus is Lord, then they will not be put to shame, no matter who it is, Jew or Gentile. So last week, Ellen talked about the Jews and Gentiles coming together as believers. Paul wanted to make sure we understood that all believers were grafted in by God, not anything we did ourselves. This point is highlighted again in chapter 12, as well as practical applications of living as a believer in a diverse group of people. So I kind of broke this up into three sections. The first part, I'm going to read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So in the ESV, which I just read from, Paul starts with, I appeal to you, therefore. And in the NIV, therefore I urge you. He is not starting off with a mere suggestion. He's speaking with an urgent, pleading voice. The Greek verb used in this beginning statement is parakaleo, which conveys a mixture of appeal and authority. What he is about to write is important, and he wants our full attention. He continues that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as our spiritual worship. What does this mean? Well, if you think about it, our natural tendency is towards sin. And we must sacrifice this inherent nature that's in every one of us every day in every part of our lives. We as believers are alive with the Holy Spirit in us. And we must let the Spirit work through us, which is the only way that we can let ourselves go against, sacrifice this inherent nature. We have to let the Holy Spirit work through us. John Stott writes in his commentary on Romans, worship is not just to be offered in the temple courts or in the church building, but rather in home life and in the marketplace. It is the presentation of our bodies to God. So our everyday living should be pouring out praise and worship to the Creator, no matter what we're doing, not just on Sundays, when we come to church, not just Wednesday mornings at Women's Bible Study, but even when we're home, dropping kids off at school, running errands, we should be showing our worship and praise to the Creator. So this involves our heart, mind, will, and life, the whole of what we are. Paul isn't urging us to give a portion of our lives, but every fiber of our being. Now, how does this look as we go about living as believers? As Paul goes on, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Unfortunately, conformity is so common and can be so subtle that it can be difficult to distinguish when it is happening. This world is constantly trying to influence our hearts and minds everywhere we turn. How can we not be conformed to it? It's not a passive act. We must actively be in God's word and in constant prayer with our Savior. And to be transformed, we must submit to the Holy Spirit, who brings about the renewal of your mind. Kent Hughes writes in his commentary on Romans chapter 12, "This is a process, a gradual transformation. The Christian is to allow himself to be changed continually so that his life conforms more and more to that of Christ. As this process continues, we are to be actively participating in our relationship with God. And in this way, become more aware of his will for our lives. This is how we can better understand what is good and acceptable and perfect." Examples of actively participating would include prayer, reading our Bibles, and also meeting together with other believers. Knowing and understanding what God's will is for our lives can also help us discern what gifts we have been given. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Paul goes on to stress the importance of our gifts, but also that each gift is necessary, and no one should think more highly of themselves because of their own gift. We are to use sober judgment according to the measure of faith God has assigned. This is telling us to think humbly and gives us no room to boast because our gifts are God-given and have nothing to do with what we have done. As Kent Hughes puts it in his commentary, measure can be translated to standard, with the idea that God has allotted to each believer a standard of faith by which to measure himself. And that standard is Christ. Which, when put that way, how can we even try to think of ourselves more highly? So with this humility in mind, we know that each one of us is needed and are all called to action. Our job is to put these gifts to use and to do it to benefit the body or community. This is where Paul uses the human body as an example of different parts belonging to one whole with one main goal. Think about it. The different parts of your body don't boast. They don't fight with each other for praise or look down on parts with a seemingly smaller function. Can you imagine? You'd never be able to do anything. No, they work together so that the body as a whole survives and thrives. If one part of your body fails, it is detrimental to the whole body. So when you think about all the different body parts, what comes to mind as the most important? Heart, brain, lungs, vital organs in general. Well, what about a fingernail? Did that even cross your mind? Probably not, and that's fair. But say if your fingernail fell off, you might initially think it's just a fingernail, no big deal, they grow back. But without that fingernail in place, your body is now actually more susceptible to infection. That fingernail can no longer protect the vulnerable bed underneath it, one of its main functions. And if you do get an infection in that spot, it can easily spread to other parts of your body and then cause you to need to go to the doctor to get medication for it. Something that starts so small can become a huge deal to the rest of your body. Each system, each organ, even each blood cell has a very specific job that is vital for the body's health. Paul uses this example in 1 Corinthians 12 as well, as he explains that each body part needs the other, he also describes the fact that there can be no division, but that each part or member needs to care for one another. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. As well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says that God arranged the members in the body as he chose. Again, not one of us gave ourselves or anyone else a gift or ability that hadn't already been presented by God. Everyone's input is important and crucial to our body in Christ. Not only is it applicable to understand and use our own gifts, but we must help other members of our body to use their gifts as well. Again, going back to the body, if you think about it, each system is its own, but it also intertwines. So circulatory system pumps blood, and that helps oxygen get to the muscles. The muscles are then able to perform their function, move your skeletal system, which helps us to do pretty much any activities that we need to get done during the day. So they help each other as well. And to do this, to help each other, We need to meet together, uplift each other, but also hold each other accountable for our actions. It is too easy to get comfortable with the world around us and not be able to distinguish conforming with it rather than rising above it as God calls us to do. Sometimes it takes an outside look, a loving chastisement to open our eyes to what we are doing. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. When we are able to encourage one another and use that to perform our functions or gifts to the better of the body, we see growth and strength burst forth. This last section is verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us then use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Our gifts from God are all needed to help the body thrive. If we keep to ourselves, the body will not reach its potential. God gives these gifts freely to each individual to meet the needs of the body. Being in community with one another is part of how we can use our gifts to the fullest potential. Again, each member is given a gift. Some are very different from each other, and some may be similar, but we all bring something worth sharing. Not only is sharing these gifts with the body enough, but using them to the best of our abilities is imperative. As Paul doesn't just list the gifts, he adds an action to each one to guide us how to do it well. This is also not a full list of every gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, both have a list of spiritual gifts as well. Whatever our gift may be, working with each other is essential for the spiritual health of our church. We need each other. We need our differences to come together and not drive us apart. Diversity does not mean division. Unity in diversity does not always come as second nature to us. Kent Hughes writes in his commentary, "It is always a danger signal when members of a Christian organization or a church begin to all dress and act like the leader. When the Spirit of God is free to work in a church, there is diversity." And God uses that to help us reach out to others that aren't necessarily in our community of believers as well. we all looked alike, dressed alike, and could only do the same thing, how would we reach out to different people? Luckily, in Jesus Christ, any unity is possible. As Christians, we have this ability to embrace and encourage our differences because of Christ. The world around us is constantly changing and telling us that we need to change with it. There is a big emphasis on individuality, which is not inherently a bad thing. But as Christians, our individuality should benefit the body of Christ. The Word of God is our constant in this ever-changing world. Knowing and understanding His Word guides us on our journey to know who we are and where we stand. We are the body. We must care for each other to keep the body healthy and thriving. He gave us His Son as the ultimate sacrifice and has adopted us as well. Let us then continue to rejoice and encourage one another in this hope we have, so that we may one day be able to worship and praise Him in His presence. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank You for this community, this body that we have at this church, Lord. Thank You for this group of women that we can come together and meet together and encourage. I pray that You continue to help us to meet together and to continue to bring others to You, Lord, that we can encourage others that might not be able to meet together as much as we can. Pray that we continue to be in Your Word and be in prayer with You, Lord, and be actively participating in our relationship with You. Pray that the Holy Spirit can work through us, that we allow it to work through us to reach those around us. In Your name, amen.